Hello?
Good evening. Am I out there?
Ellen is here.
Sorry, that Ellen looks like, and who else?
Yeah, I said Ellen. Yep, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
And who else is on the call? I can see somebody else out there. I just can't tell who it is. All right, hang on one second. I'm working with a new headset here. Who's ever out there, I can't hear you. Looks like someone has dialed in a while earlier, and they're trying to talk, and I can't hear them. So if you can hear me, since I can't hear you, you might want to consider dialing back in again. Hi, who just joined us?
I'm Seydou.
Seydou, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing great. We got some people waiting, people to get on the line here still, so we'll just hang on for another minute or two.
Okay.
Trying to... Hi, who just joined us?
Hi, Dave. It's Liz at Ennis.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Doing wonderful.
Hello.
Oh, hello. We're still waiting for the people to show up before we get started here. I guess we can just kind of ask the general question. Does anybody have any general questions after last week's call? Ooh, a lot of background noise going on there.
This is Carol. I don't have any questions.
Okay. All right. Who just joined us? I heard someone else.
Chris.
Oh, hey, Chris. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Doing great. Hi, who just joined?
Hi, it's Melena Yang.
Hi, Melena. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. All right. So let's go ahead and get started. Hang on just one second. All right, can y'all hear me out there?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
All right, so there was probably a problem getting the slides out this week. Hi, who just joined?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Very good. All right, so apparently there was a problem getting the slides out this week, and I'm not really sure what happened. I put them out there, and then they seem to have disappeared.
Oh.
But they're back out there again now, so do you guys...
Yeah.
Do you guys all have the slides?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
Yep, I do.
All right. So let us go ahead and get started and talk about the stuff in the slides for week number three. Yes.
Good. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty long.
Sorry? Didn't quite catch what you said. Say it again. All right. So let's do a quick review of our session two and our behavioral style chart. We talked about the high D and how they were active and task-oriented. A lot of heavy action orientation with them. They are direct and decisive. They want to just get things done. They're results-oriented. They are natural leaders. And by the way, people looking, there's some natural followers out there as well who look to the high Ds to lead. They get easily distracted, oftentimes by tasks. So they're quote, masters at multitasking, except that studies show multitasking doesn't work, but they think it does. So they try and do that all the time. We're still having some background noise out there. If you've got some things going on your record, just put us on mute with star six. They tend to overuse directness, and that can put people off. They're not trying to be mean-spirited. They're not trying to do the wrong thing. They're trying to do the right thing. But they're so direct that they sometimes can cause concerns for others around them. We talked about coaching the high D. The fact that they're action-oriented makes them kind of fun to coach that way because they're going to move into action. But they have challenges in that they may not pick up on the emotions of people around them. So their action orientation is fun to deal with, but the impact on others, they can easily miss that. Because of the way they tend to communicate, what they talk about can come across as demands and not really requests. So that can be a challenge when they think they're doing the right thing, but people perceive them differently than they perceive themselves. Questions you're going to ask the high D? What are you going to do? It's one they're really going to like that way, obviously. But equally important, and they won't think of this on their own, how what you're going to do here, how is this going to impact others around you? That'll make them stop and think. Or they may just say, ah, it won't impact others around me, but it really does. And they need to be brought to their attention that, yeah, it will impact others. Think about what it's going to do. So that's kind of the general stuff on the high D. Questions on our friends, the high D? All right. Talk about the high I's, a little quick review there. They, again, are very active, but they're much more people-oriented than the high D is. They have they're natural influencers. They have great communication skills. They are also leaders. They tend to be visionary leaders. While the high D is going to drive you towards results, the high I tend to have great visions, which they can command and project onto others. Like the high D, the high I can be easily distracted, but in this case it's usually by other people. And the result of that is sometimes you're talking to some high I, you think you're in great conversation, and they're thinking about 15 other people and saying hi to others around them, and you feel like you don't really have their full undivided attention. They tend to overuse optimism. They're very optimistic. And they talk so much that people sometimes stop listening to them. A challenge they don't often see. So how do you coach the high I? Well, the fact they're upbeat and optimistic makes those calls fun to have because they're always kind of energized. But they can be all talk and no action. So you're going to have to hold them accountable for what they agreed to do. Check back in with them. You're going to do these three things if they get done. And if you start hearing some stories, you got to hold them accountable. Make sure things get done. In a coaching session, they tend to sometimes wander away from what the question really was. And so you have to ask the same question sometimes more than one time to hold them accountable and keep them honest, if you will. and they have a lot of number one priorities, so you got to get them organized and get focused on what's really important to them. And if you can do that and get them focused on what really is important, you can get them to move into action pretty well. So some common questions you're going to ask the high I: what can go wrong here? Again, they're overly optimistic, so they tend to not see what could go wrong and the impact that could have on them and in some cases others as well. Likewise, question you're going to ask them is, when can you realistically expect to get this done? Because, again, optimism that they have, they'll tell you they're going to get it done in, you know, by tomorrow morning. That's a two-week job, and you know that. So got to keep them honest in terms of realistic goals and hold them accountable. So that's some stuff about our friends, the high I's. Any questions about the high I? So you'd think that in the general public, are the D's and I's pretty easy to spot?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. You can spot them easily just by who's talking the loudest, what they're talking about. So that can be an interesting challenge out there dealing with them as they're in public, because they'll be talking loud, they're the center of attention. They can be distracting the people around them. All right, we're going to do a little quick quiz here. These are pretty easy quizzes. They really are. So which of the following animals is most like the high D? A soft, cuddly kitten. A wet-nosed, lovable puppy. A quiet, soft bunny rabbit. A Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yes.
That wasn't that easy. See?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they do tend to stand out. I mean, they're very aggressive. They're nice. D's are very nice people, but it's hidden beneath the surface sometimes. You have to dig a little bit to get down to see how nice they really are. Okay. So, quick quiz number two. Which statement likely came from a high D? My, you look lovely tonight. Can I help you carry those heavy packages? You had me at hello. Or give me the remote control before I beat you with a 2x4.
Give me the remote control.
Again, really easy, right? That high D tends to stand out because they tend to be very aggressive and active that way. All right. Now, this looks really easy. It's going to get more complex as we go along, as you're going to see in future weeks. But let's talk about the high I. Which animal is most like the high I? A black rhinoceros. A yellow lab. A California sea lion. Or a sea turtle.
California lab. All right, lab. Yellow lab.
The yellow lab. Why are the yellow labs a good choice there?
They
tend to be very, very lovable, right? And very outgoing. They're always wagging their tail. That's your high eye for you, the yellow lab. So which statement like it came from a high eye? Go ahead, make my day. One potato, two potato, three potato, four. You look marvelous. Or make him an offer he can't refuse.
You look marvelous.
And why do we choose that one?
Because it's complimenting, it's encouraging, it's
accepting. Yeah, by the way, it may not be true. You may not look marvelous, but they're going to tell you look marvelous.
That's very true.
Yeah. All right. So wasn't that an easy quiz on the D's and the I's? We'll do it on the S's and C's next week, which is not quite as easy, but still pretty easy. So let's move into our discussion of the high S and then the high C. So we're going to start with the high S first. And again, the high S is that lower right-hand quadrant of the model. So they are more reserved, moderate-paced, thoughtful, but share the people orientation, accepting, and agreeable with the high I. So as we talked about the all the different D's and the I's, we're going to discuss here the S's at their best and at their worst. So as you read about the S's in your material for today, what stood out to you about the high S?
They like to get along with everybody. They don't like conflict.
They like to get along. They don't like conflict. That's a good one. Yeah. What else?
The percentage of the population that is a high S.
Yes.
Yeah. And why does that stand out to you so much?
I guess it's because a lot of the people that I work around are C's and D's. So, you know, I had to think about that for a while, and I said, well, it's because that's what my company tends to hire more of. It's not that there's not a lot of S's out there. So I kind of had that assumption that I guess there's more C's and D's. As I'm learning, it's not. It's the way that the company hires and the type of people that gravitate to what I do or the company I work for. And the type
of what kind of company do you work for?
I work for a very competitive telecommunications company.
Ah, yes. So a lot of engineers?
We have a lot of engineers, you know, a lot of numbers-oriented, results-oriented, number crunchers, accuracy, let's get it right, let's do it this way, what's the structure, let's get it done at all costs.
Yeah, that's really true. So I spent about 20 years in telecommunications myself. And it was interesting to watch the different perspective of the high C's we'll talk about in a few minutes here in the engineering organization versus the high I's in the marketing organization. Because without marketing, there ain't no sales. And you need those salespeople out there. You need marketing people out there. But the high C's kept saying, you're messing up our network with all these customers. I always thought customers were a good thing, but apparently they mess up the network. What else do you guys think about the high S as you read through them? What else jumped out at you?
They're natural followers.
Sorry, say again?
They're natural followers.
Natural followers, exactly. The S's don't like to be in charge. They don't want to be in command. They don't want to be in the spotlight. They prefer to be a subservient role. They look to others around them to lead. So, yeah, that's a big part of it. And when you go back to that percentage of the population and that big part of followers, yeah. And think about it. If there are too many leaders, we all get each other's way. So having those followers, not always a bad thing at all, actually. Anything else about the high S jump out at you?
I think the masking of emotions. So behind that agreeableness, they may not always be aligned with you or on your side.
Yeah. Interesting story. A couple of years ago, I did a workshop with a group of people who all knew each other, about 30 of them in the room, and they were together for a long time, and there were husbands and wives in the room. And they knew each other. And I had them in the four corners of the room based on their style. I gave them a handout that talked about the characteristics of each of the four styles. And surprisingly, one of the high S's raised their hands, which was surprising because they don't speak up that much. And they said, we see the thing here about masking our emotions. We don't think that's right. We think we are very clear about our emotions. Now, keep in mind, everybody in the room knew each other there. So I turned the other three corners and said, what do you guys think? Do the high S's mask their emotions? Do you know what they're thinking? Do you know what's going on? And there was a rather interesting discussion about the fact that the other group said, we can tell they're upset. We have no idea why. And since they won't tell us, we kind of ignore it. And a little surprising to this is to find that out. They were being ignored that way because they thought they were being very clear, but others had no clue as what they were thinking.
It's a good thing they're Trump.
Sorry?
I was just going to say it's a good thing that they're tolerant. And peacemakers.
They are natural peacemakers. But the highest is the ones who sometimes can also get, over a long period of time, negative emotions tend to boil inside of them. And then once in a while, they'll explode.
That's right.
It seems, yeah. Seems very out of character for them. You go, what the heck just happened? And what just happened was small. But it was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back, and they explode.
Yeah, it's a buildup.
It just builds up. They don't release it.
Yeah.
All right. Talk about the high S here. At their best. At their best. The high S is even-tempered, patient, helpful, and accommodating. Some people say the high S stands for salt of the earth. They're natural followers and team players. The high S is willing to pitch in and help to get things done. They truly enjoy people in a small circle of friends that they tend to do everything with. They're relaxed, easygoing, and slow to anger. They're loyal to their friends and their family. They remember birthdays, the names of your spouse, your kids, and maybe your anniversary. They like things the way that they are. They don't like what they consider to be big, unnecessary changes. All right. Nice, pleasant people, right? Let's talk about Holly. Been with the company for 7 years, since right after she got out of college. She likes her job and her coworkers, but is glad to leave at the end of the day to go home to her husband and her 3-year-old. On her desk, she has pictures of her wedding, a family picture, and, of course, the picture of the newborn being held by her and her husband. Now, she's being considered for a supervisor job. She's pretty sure she can do that. I mean, everyone likes working with her, and she knows they'll do their best for her. So what's her challenge? Why does she want to be coached? Well, being a supervisor means having to deal with employee problems. There aren't any really bad employees on this team, but Marcus has not been carrying his weight, and she dreads the thought of having to talk to him about his performance. So you can see there, nice, friendly, everyone likes her, but that pressure to deal with a problem employee, even when it's not a big problem, is a real burden to her. You know some folks that might be Hollies in your life?
Yep.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice people to have around. You really like it. You really enjoy having them around. Sometimes, though, they miss some stuff that way. But the high S also has a downside. So at their worst, the high S is passive, complacent, and maybe even a little bit lazy. They have no sense of urgency to their work. And it gets done when it gets done. They don't like change and use passive-aggressive behavior to, quote, protect themselves from all these unnecessary changes. They can be shy to the point of being timid and won't speak unless spoken to. They hide their feelings, both positive and negative, rather than possibly express them and possibly expose themselves to any ridicule. So laying back, really passive, hiding your emotions. Know some folks like that in your life? Yeah. We all tend to. And it's the same high S that's so nice and agreeable and friendly, but at their worst. So there's two sides to all the equations here. So Dan's been married for almost 10 years. He doesn't really love his wife. What are you going to do? He comes home for dinner every night and spends his evenings watching television. The show's on. Didn't care for the shows all that much, but, that's what's on, so it's what he watches. His wife has to get him to open up and talk, but he knows nothing good can come from talking. So he just stays quiet and says as little as possible. He looks forward to Saturday when he and his buddies can play a little bit of golf. He's not that good at golf because he doesn't like to practice. But he still plays. He likes to be with his buddies. So what's his problem? Why did he come to you for coaching? His life is boring. But acceptable. Not horrible. He doesn't see any reason to change things. But he knows he has to change something because he's so bored. In fact, what he's going to tell you is that he's already tried everything and nothing seems to work. So there he sits on the phone with you saying, I want to make things better, but I don't want to change. How's that for a client to deal with?
Oh, yeah, cost 22.
Yeah, those tend to not be a whole lot of fun to deal with. You tend to get a lot of promises for action, but very little action actually done. You tend to get a lot of excuses. All right. But what if you are a coach and you're a high S? Well, there are some tendencies you have to watch out for if you're a high S and a coach. And one thing is you may just tend to just listen to your client rather than actually coaching them. So you'd be a great listener, but coaching is more than just listening. You may not challenge your client to do more for fear of creating conflict with them. You may not help your client set challenging goals, so you'll accept things that are haphazard or not challenging or not nearly enough. You'll say, well, that's progress, and that's good. Well, not always. Coaches are designed to help people get someplace farther and faster. If you're a high-S coach, you may not be moving them along at the right speed. The goals they set for themselves may not be challenging because you don't help them set challenging goals. Any goal is good enough, right? Not really. If the client starts going too fast for the high-S coach, they may try and slow that client down to ensure thoroughness. And they tend to have not enough focus on tasks and actions, too much on feeling good, feeling okay, no need to change. So if you're a high-S coach, those are things you have to watch out for. Can high-S's be great coaches? Absolutely. They're empathetic, understanding. They listen well. As long as they're aware of the natural challenges of being a high-S coach, they can do some great things with their clients. All right. Questions so far or comments? All right. Well, as a client, the high S has some natural strengths. They're patient. They're realistic. They're methodical. And that helps get things done. They like to cooperate with others to get results, and that includes you as the coach. They don't want to let you down. So if you move them into action, they'll take action in a way that, because they don't want to let you down. They want to make you feel good. Blind spots of the high S, well, they don't express their emotions well. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes they think they do, but no one really knows what they're thinking. So in a coaching session, you'll sometimes ask the question, does so-and-so know about this problem with you? Oh, yeah, they're well aware of it. How do you know that? Well, I've told them. Tell me what you said to them. And you'll hear some very passive, very tepid comment that if they're talking with a high D, may go right over their head, for example. Another blind spot they have, their passive-aggressive response to change. And whether it be someone coaching somebody at home or at work, in relationships, if they don't want to change, they'll take this passive-aggressive approach that looks like it's being cooperative, but really is not. So you got to watch for those things and be willing to challenge them to take that next step, go to the next level with them. Again, how they interact with others? Well, they're going to avoid confrontation. Confrontation really, really bothers the high S. They really are uncomfortable with that whole concept. And so they'll go to great lengths to avoid unpleasant conversations, dealing with problem issues. As we saw in the example I gave you, they may stay married to someone they really don't love because, well, you know, getting divorced is a lot of work, and my next spouse could even be worse, or being alone could be worse, so I'll just take things the way they are. So, again, challenge of coaching the high S. They don't like change. Coaching is about change. I don't get a lot of high S clients because, A, I do a lot of executive work. They tend to not be executives. But also, people come to us for making changes, making things different. And the high S doesn't like that change. Now, they may get to the point where they said, I've had it. I'm fed up. I got to make changes. Good. If you get that kind of a high S in your as a client and they're willing to make those kind of changes, you have to push them still. But you can't make it work. They tend to decide things slowly. So as you're coaching them, you'll see some things going on. You'll say, well, I can see they're making the decision here. And they're not nearly as far along as you think they are. And they may not complete their actions. They'll start. They may not finish. So, again, that accountability partner, very important with the high S. If you don't ask the right questions to them in terms of getting things done, they'll try and slide some things through. Questions you're going to ask the high S? Things like, so how does this make you feel? And you want to get them to express those emotions, talk to you about it. You're liable to hear things like, it feels okay, or it feels pretty good. Ask more. Get deeper. Get them to really express the emotions. Well, what's the opportunity here? Let them see the reason and the validity for change and what can happen if change is good. And you're going to hear, well, it could be worse. Yeah, but it could be better. And what if it was better? Paint the picture of life being better with the change being made. Get them to buy into that. How does it affect you, your family, your friends, your coworkers? Again, the possibility of change, and they can see the positive change and the impact on others, help move into action. What do you need to feel better about this? It's an important question to ask the IS because they're going to try and lay back and not take action. If you get them to express themselves in terms of what is that's holding them back that way, it's going to make them feel better about it. They're halfway home. And when can you do this? They're not inclined to take action on their own. But again, if you get work with a deadline with them and they feel that commitment, and what they'll do is they'll be reluctant to let you down. So if you're their accountability partner, the next call coming in, they'll get those things done in advance. As long as they know, you're going to ask them. All right. general thoughts and comments on the high S? Do you want to coach the high S in your practice?
I was going to say, it seems like the high S would be common in as clients for life coaching as opposed to maybe executive coaching, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, I don't see a lot of high S's in the executive ranks because they're not generally aggressive enough to get to the executive ranks.
Yeah.
On the life coaching side, again, that tendency to stick with the status quo, but you don't see a lot of high S clients. But when you do see them, they're generally really fed up. So I'm working with a young lady right now. I'm kind of off and on, and she's like the Holly in this little story we have here, and that she's been asked to be a supervisor makes her very uncomfortable. Been with the company for, 7 or 8 years, and she doesn't think she can go someplace else and make the same kind of money. I said, have you checked around? Well, no. How would you go about checking around? I don't know. You think you should check around? I don't know. So they tend to sit and suffer rather than make a change.
So do they end up really then? I guess, you said earlier the ones maybe that show up are the ones who are motivated enough to make a change, whether a situation's gotten bad enough or whatever internal, external motivations they need. But it sounds like maybe a big pool of them wouldn't be coaching clients of their own volition because that would indicate a willingness to move forward and change something. Is that right?
Yeah. I think high S's, the ones I've seen in things that I've done, I see more in group settings than I do in one-on-one settings.
Yep.
We got a lot of shifting noise there. I'm not sure where it's coming from exactly, but so I think you're shifting some papers around or maybe you're moving your phone around a lot, but anyway. High S's tend to get comfortable in groups. And if you do group work, group coaching, which we all talked about in our CTA classes, we talked about the fact that it's good to have the groups do exercises where you go from talking to the whole group to say, let's break in groups of 3 or 4 and discuss X, Y, Z and come back with some responses. Because while the S will not participate in front of 20 other people, they will in groups of 2 or 3 at the desk or at a table. So that's where I try and engage the S's more. And I try, if I can, to not call them out by name because that can make them very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The S and the C, being put on the spot, yeah. You want to engage them by getting engaged in those smaller groups. But you want to make sure you don't do too much that that makes them feel uncomfortable.
There's still a little background noise. I don't know if folks are on mute. But
I just muted somebody who I was seeing some noise on the screen from. I'll unmute you again in a few minutes, but we had a lot of noise going on, so I'll unmute from time to time. All right. You tend to see more of in groups than you do one-on-one, see more of in life coaching than you do in executive coaching. And using DISC is a great way to have that conversation. It gives you the language to use with a high S that can make them feel comfortable because the DISC language tends to be very non-judgmental, and therefore you can use it with them to help them see where they may have challenges and things they can do to help move themselves forward. All right? Right. So let's move on now and talk about the high C's. Ready for that? So the high C, the last of our 4 major styles. Again, reserved, moderate-paced, or thoughtful. But they have a task orientation. They share with the high Ds and are naturally questioning. And they're going to be critical. They're critical thinkers. So the high C, we say, stands for conscientious or compliant, correctness, all fits in there. As you read about the high C's, what jumped out at you about the high C's?
Their goal is to be correct at all, as much as possible.
Yeah. And it can be really challenging because sometimes they'll try so hard to prove that they're correct, even when they're wrong. But they have to feel like they're right. Let me give you a little example of that. I used to work with a business partner who was a high C. And we had someone in an office one day, a salesperson. We were hiring to do some work for us. And we were talking about using the database available at the library to get a list of potential clients for her to go see and visit. And I'd used this database myself before. And I said, so if you go down to the library, talk to the librarian, they'll show you how to use it. It says, and you can actually go ahead and access it by zip code to find the right areas that we want to focus in. And my partner, the high C, spoke up and said, yeah, it's a great database. I've used it too, but you actually can't search by zip code, though. Well, I knew you could because I had done it. And I said, well, yeah. I says, so talk to the librarian. They'll give you some guidance on how to use it. And check on that zip code thing. I really think you can check by zip code, but ask them. They'll tell you for sure. My partner said, no, you can't do it by zip code. You can do it by geographic area, but not by zip code. I said, well, okay. Well, just check with the librarian. She'll give you the guidance you need. So as I said that, my partner then turned to her computer and began to type. I knew what she was doing. She was logging into the library to this database so you can search by zip code or not. And so I kept talking to the salesperson. And about 6-7 minutes later, she comes back. She goes, okay, by the way, I just checked. And you actually can search by zip code, but only under these conditions. And they were pretty tepid conditions, to tell you the truth. So she was wrong about not being able to search by zip code, but by saying, only be able to do it this way, she was trying to say, I'm not really wrong. Because you can't do it, but only in these certain conditions. Now, if I was not a DISC practitioner, her turning toward her computer to do that would really have bothered me. Because I said, she's trying to prove me wrong. Trying to make me look bad here. But knowing DISC and therefore knowing my partner, I knew this was not about me being wrong. This was about her being right. She needed to be right. And so sometimes even when they're wrong, they'll try and convince you that they really were right all along, just in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else about the high C jumped out at you as you studied them?
I think that for me, the juxtaposition on the natural priorities listed of maintaining stability but challenging the status quo.
Yeah. Like the high S, they want that stable environment. They want rules to protect them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that really is the thing about them is they believe the rules are there to protect them. So they'll use the rules to make sure everything's the way it should be. And that includes societal rules. So they tend to be more polite. They tend to hold the door for people because that's what you're supposed to do. If it's a guy, he'll give up a seat in a bus to a woman because that's what you're supposed to do. At the same time, if they think a rule is is not correct, they will revel in disregarding that rule because it's a bad rule. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, both of those pieces.
My first reaction was, high C would never speed. No, they will speed. But they'll speed because they'll say, for this area, that's the wrong speed limit. It really should be here.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's about justifying their actions all the time. Like there's a right. So whether that's the right rule or it's the wrong rule, but there seems to be a justification all the time.
Yeah. So they can be right ultimately. Yeah. Good. What else about the high C jumped out at you?
In office settings, I see that they find it difficult to delegate tasks to other people around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They like to have things defined, and they will define them themselves if they're not defined for them. They tend to focus so intricately on the detail that they'll miss the big picture. Good. So let's talk about some of the high C's at their best. At their best, the high C is accurate, careful, methodical, and considered reliable by everyone who knows them. They excel at research, can be counted on to dig out the details and do the research to make sure that the project is done right each time and every time. They believe in following the rules, so they dot the I's, they cross the T's, and make sure everything is correct. After all, anything worth doing is worth doing right. So they're polite, routinely say please and thank you, hold the doors for others, and they secretly wish that everyone would do that because that's what we should do as a society. They don't believe in showing their emotions because that would just get in the way of making the right decisions. So think about the high S. They hide their emotions as well, but they think others see them. The C intentionally hides their emotions. The high C has high standards for themselves and for everyone around them. They don't like sloppy work, but will check and double check to make sure that everything is done correctly. Sound familiar to you guys? People that you know fit that category?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
But this could be taken to an extreme and become obsessive compulsive behavior as well. I used to work with a guy years ago. We at the start of every day, we were accountants, and we were literally in rows of accountants. He sat next to me in one chair in front, and he'd come in the morning, and he would take out 6 pencils out of his drawer. These were the old-fashioned sharpening pencil. He would sharpen each to a fine point and then line them up in order by size and begin to use them from the smallest to the largest until they were dull. And he'd put them in the other drawer. When all 6 were gone, he'd pull out 6 more. Just a little bit crazy, probably. All right, let's talk about, we have Jim as an accountant, and he loves his job. As long as the debits equal the credits, he knows that all is right with the world. He works for a small accounting firm, and each month, his list of his clients that he maintains the books for. Each month, the clients send in their bookkeeping to him. He writes her journal entries, reconciles her bank accounts, creates an income statement and balance sheet. He likes predictability of the whole thing. It's the same each and every month. He loves that. And he knows, for example, that Sam the plumber will always have things on his desk no later than 3 business days after the end of each month. But oh, that Dr. Kildare, you make a phone call to him to remind him to get paperwork in, or it'll last, it'll be late for 2 or 3 weeks. Now, taxis is a grind, but he actually enjoys that. Oh, not the long hours so much, but the satisfaction of knowing the tax return he did is done correctly. All right. So what is Jim's challenge? Well, sometimes the perfectionist in him gets the better of him, and he ends up in a ready, aim, aim, aim situation. He and his lovely wife have been wanting to buy a house near the school for the last few years, but every house has a problem with it. So he comes to you and says, help me make this decision. Thoughts, comments? Do you want to coach someone like Jim?
Well, he's done his homework, probably.
Yeah. He'll have the details for you. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I have 2 employees that are high C's. So, I mean, I have to coach them from a business perspective. And, yeah, I got to have my ducks in a row. I have to be very prepared when I'm going to start to coach and work with them.
Yeah. Do they tend to fall into that ready, aim, aim, aim mode?
Yeah, and it's if I'm going to point out something that didn't get done or the impact was negative, I've got to show them all of the data to say this is when it happened, this is how it happened, and this is exactly what it went. So when they see that, they start mulling over, but I also have to work with them on how to, you know, because they want to get into leadership someday, so I have to work with them to tell them that they got to get to the softer side of fears, and they have to focus on that as well, so to speak. You know, so it's just a real interesting dynamic, a lot of preparation.
Facts are your friends. They'll help you make the right decisions. If I only had a few more facts, I could actually decide this. Just a few more facts.
Well, and then they won't argue with their own data. So if I tell them, this is what you requested, this is how you wanted to plan it out, this is what happened, and this is something that you had control over, and it was really nothing to do with me, they tend not to argue with their own data. So that's where I've really got to do my due diligence.
Well, there's an old saying that, you know, you can make data tell you anything they want to tell you. So the interpretation of that data is also important. And you can challenge them sometimes on the interpretation of the data. Does it really mean this, or could it mean something different over here? And can you make it, and can you show how it proves this versus that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. All right, so let's go on to the high C at their worst, because believe it or not, they do have a worst. Okay? At their worst, their high C is an unbending perfectionist who demands that everything be done only one way, their way. They can be rigid and unwilling to compromise even over small issues. They want their routine, and even the smallest variance can throw them into a tizzy. They have an inability to admit mistakes, sometimes creating elaborate excuses as to why what they did was really correct, in spite of what the results actually showed. Sometimes they focus on a minute detail that may be incorrect and use that as a way to invalidate the much bigger picture. After all, they're right, and they know they're right. So, Tiffany works in a library. She loves the books and the fact that everything is filed in a specific order. She loves Melville Dewey because he invented the Dewey Decimal System, and she uses that every single day. Of course, if she had helped Melville develop the system, be better than the one they have right now. She can improve it. So Tiffany's a little out of sorts today because her daughter had cereal for breakfast and used the last of the milk. I mean, there was no milk for her coffee. Threw her all out of sorts. She knew right then and there it was going to be a really bad day, and by golly, she was right. I mean, she found the three books misfiled, not before lunch. She looked at a job posting online and noticed that the author had used the word their, T-H-E-I-R, versus they are. Oh, why can't people get this stuff right? She saw her coworker Grace this morning. She was putting up books from last night's returns. So Grace checked the books into the system and then alphabetized them afterwards. Oh, Tiffany put a stop to that memory. First you alphabetize and then you check them in. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Anybody have a Tiffany in their life?
Yep. Family member.
Yeah, like the high C-doors can be a bit of a challenge to deal with, can't they? Well-meaning, but small things. Things got to be exactly right. So
yeah, control freaks, right, is sort of what we would often say.
Not to their faces, of course.
Well,
yeah.
Family members.
Sorry?
To family members, yeah. Maybe not to clients.
But that need to get everything correct with a client is part of their challenge.
Right.
And it's also part of the challenge of a high C as a coach. Because as a coach, they can get so focused on details of the story that they miss the big picture. They also tend to focus on those details so they miss the emotional undertones. That coachable moment we talked about in class, that emotion underneath that, they'll hear the facts, but not the emotions. And they can hook up on the client's story to make sure everything ties together nice and neat, that they're missing the context the client's trying to tell them. They also may focus too much on the negative aspects of the situation instead of seeing where the situation can go and how to make it solutions-oriented for the client. Their sessions can be too structured. So you got to follow these exact rules for things this exact way, even when the client is not there just yet. Likewise, because they lack some of those people skills, they can be too reserved or too distant. Now, can high C's be good coaches? Absolutely. You know, again, it starts with the idea of knowing what my natural strengths are and my natural challenges are, being aware of those things, and then compensating for them. So high C's could be great coaches as long as they understand, again, their own strengths and weaknesses. Now, as a client, they have natural strengths. They think analytically. So they're going to weigh the pros and cons of situations. Okay? They're going to be comprehensive problem solvers. So they won't jump to conclusions. They won't leap ahead too much. It's going to be A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way down to Z. They have some blind spots. And one is that they can be too focused on unimportant minutiae. Something that's not really relevant to the big picture, to the overall problem, they can get focused on that. And when you criticize them or challenge them, they can get defensive. So that's part of the challenge of the high C client. When they interact with others, because they are perfectionists themselves, they can be overly critical of people around them, expecting perfection when no one's really perfect. Because of their reserved nature, they can appear to be cool or aloof. So challenge of the coaching the high C, well, they can go into analysis paralysis where they analyze things forever without reaching a conclusion. Their creativity can be hampered by their need to follow the rules. You know, that whole thing about think outside the box. The box is your friend. Why would you want to think outside the box? But likewise, if you can tell them, let's change the box and create a bigger box, that'll get them all excited. They like that idea. And they don't always express themselves and their feelings. Like I said, while a high S is out there thinking they're communicating their feelings but really masking them, the high C intentionally masks their feelings. And that can create some real problems in relationships, either at home or at work. All right. So questions you want to ask the high C. What's a realistic outcome? Yeah, because you're asking for something that will take 3 days, they'll tell you 3 months. Yeah, let's focus on bringing that down some a little bit here. Because they tend to make, be very slow decision makers, we'll ask that question. What else do you need to have to make this decision? And they can tell you what that is. And then when you help them fill those requirements, they bring up more things, say, wait a minute, you just said this is what you needed. Hold them accountable for that. When will you do this by? And again, not just get the date, but make sure the date's a realistic date and not one stretched out too far in the future. How will this impact others? They don't tend to think about other people. What about themselves and their rules? And what are the pros and cons? They like that kind of a question because they can really begin to identify pros and cons easily and help measure them all, weigh them all out. So that's kind of the high C. Questions, comments?
This is Lisa. I have a question. I think this is across the board, but is there one of the profiles that you would expect to be more self-reflective, or is that just individualistic within each category?
That's more individual. I mean, because in theory, you might expect the S to be more self-reflective, but they're also mm-hmm. most resistant to change at the same time. D's and I's tend not to be looking internally at themselves, but I got to tell you, when they do, when I get a D kind of me and say, something's wrong, I got to change, that actually excites me because they're going to move into action. I have to slow them down because they're going to move too fast into action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I's tend to think of themselves as being loved and perfect, and so, again, when they come in and say, something's not right, that's a good sign. So, again, more reflective tends to be more the yeses, but they're also least likely to want to change things.
Got it. Okay, that's helpful.
And I do think that emotional intelligence plays in here as well in terms of something that brought to their attention that they need to change, and that's really a good time for you to coach them as well when they realize that.
Great.
This is Carol. My thing says that I'm a high F, and most of the stuff I agree with, but I love change. I consider it adventure. And I've been in an executive position I was evening manager of an executive hotel, and I loved everything about it and didn't seem to have any issues. I was there for 3 years.
Yeah. Well, Carol, you're a high F, but you've got your cusping on that I, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that I is going to want to do change. And you're right there on that edge between the S and the I.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's why it's important. We're going to get this starting next week, the idea that you're not just an S. You're an S-I.
Yeah.
And that I is going to have a significant impact on the way you behave.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep, you bet.
Okay. So here's an impromptu quiz for you guys as we come to the end of our class here today. You have now studied all four of the primary styles. What do you think my primary style is?
A C-I.
A D-I, you said?
No, C-I.
C-I. Okay. Other thoughts?
I also say C for sure, primary.
Okay.
I would say C-S.
C-S, okay. Anybody else with a guess out
right?
there?
I think anchored right. in, I see elements of C, but I wonder on the DI part because of the, it sounds like you have a focus on executive coaching or at least a heavy pull of that. So being drawn to that, it makes me question the DI mix in you.
That's a good observation. So my primary style is a high D, and my secondary style is a C. They're actually fairly close together. This is sometimes referred to as the obnoxious personality style. That was supposed to be a joke. You should all be chuckling now.
we're all on mute.
the hard driving high D and the tenacity of the high C can make a DC difficult to work with. Now, I don't think that's true of me personally, but, you know, that's what I've heard. So, yeah. So if you thought something other than DC, ask yourself the question over the next week or so here, what made you think different than DC? And I'll ask that question as class starts next week. You can figure out how we got from where you thought I was to a DC. All right?
Sounds
great.
Good.
All right.
Thank you.
So, right before we leave here, I'm getting ready to leave town for a funeral. And so I'm going to be posting out everything to the Dropbox account by tomorrow when I leave. So you'll have next week's slides and a recording before tomorrow at noontime or so. Okay?
Wonderful. Okay. Sorry to hear about your funeral. Hope that goes okay.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. All righty. Have a great week. Talk to you all next week.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.